Data Center is Ed Addison. Ed is a senior software engineer working in Raleigh, North Carolina for CICS Level 2 support. Prior to working at CICS Level 2, he was a member of the VS AM Level 2 support group in San Jose, California. Ed has been with IBM for 20 years, supporting customer VSAM and CICS. Ed is a presenter at the Impact Conference and Share. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ed.
Thank you, Elijah. Good morning and good evening, everyone. I know there's some people out there that it's evening for them, so I thank you for sticking around for this. We are going to cover today, you can see on the agenda, we're going to cover a file control I/O wait, how to shoot a private string wait, and then a FCDS RECD NQ. And what I want to tell you is this presentation was created from the polling questions that Elijah is going to ask at the end from a previous presentation we had, so make sure you stick around and answer the polling questions. So we move to slide 3, please. These are the acronyms defined that we're going to use today. The first one is the request parameter list, or the RPL. This is the most important control block in file control. This is the control block we build and send to VSAM. When we add CICS stuff around that, that becomes a VSWA, or the VSAM work area, which is the next one down. The only real VSAM control block we're going to talk about today is something called a PLH or a placeholder, and that's exactly what it's for, to hold your place in VSAM. So if you go over there with like a start browse, read next activity, VSAM will hold your place in the buffer because they're expecting you to come back for the next read next. Or a read update, they'll hold your place in the buffer because you know you're going to come back for the rewrite. And if you just go down the list, we're going to talk a little bit of about LSR, local shared resources, non-shared resources. These are VSAM buffering techniques. UPAD's pretty big for LSR. We're going to talk about that for LSR processing. And we're going to talk a lot about ECBs or event control blocks. So ECBs are very important to file control, whether they're internal CICS ones or external ZOS ones. We're going to take a look at a few of them. So the next slide, please. This is the KIX file control blocks we're going to talk about today, and this is based on CICS TS 3.1. It's a little bit different in 3.2, but you should be able to find them, especially since the data areas and the supplemental data areas now come in 3.2. They're not a separate orderable entity anymore. You should be able to find them just by the going down and searching for active string counts, but this is based on 3.1. And as soon as this catches up, we're on slide 4. Okay, so this is the FCT. This is the file control table. Within that is what we're going to talk about today is the number of read requests, number of write requests, active string counts. But very important is offset 60 is a pointer to the dataset name block. The dataset name block has a VSWA anchor chain, so every request going against VSAM will be off this VSWA anchor chain at offset 54. And the VSWA, like I said, is that contains the request parameter list that we send to VSAM. And in that request parameter, when we send that to VSAM, that'll get hooked up to a PLH. The PLH will point to a VSAM control block called a BUFC, and the BUFC will point directly into the buffer where records are read off of DASD. Okay, so in that buffer, VSAM will hold your position if you did say read next or read update. So that's going to be very important. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So if we turn to the next slide, please. And this is the VSWA broken down a little bit. These are the bits we're going to be looking at. Offset able of the VSWA is the VSAM request. So if it's a 00, that's going to be an exec kix read, which to VSAM is a get request. I don't know why we didn't name them the same, but they're not named the same. A 01 will be an exec kix write, which to VSAM is a put, and so forth. 03 start browse, 04 is unlock, and 05 is delete. And these are the bits in offset 30 and 31 of the VSWA that we're going to be looking at today. The most important ones we're going to look at is offset 30 in VSWA option 1, OPT 1, is the third and fourth one down, direct and sequential access. Direct access is going to be set on if you're just doing a direct read or a direct write, like an exec kicks read file or exec kicks write file. Sequential will be on if you're doing a browsing operation. That's how VSAM knows you're going to come back, and that's how they know they should keep the place where you're at. So if you're doing exec kicks read next, that sequential bit will be on, and VSAM knows to keep position at that point because you're going to come back. The important ones in VSAM or VSWA option 2 is down at the very bottom, second from the bottom, the update processing. That bit will be on if you're doing exec kicks read update, which again will hold position. And you'll hold position until you do the rewrite or if you issue an unlock or until the task terminates. So you could hold position in this control interval or this buffer for a long time. Or if it's recoverable, if there was a sync point issued, you'd also lose position at that point. Even if you had a read update outstanding and haven't done the rewrite yet, if you issue a sync point, you'll lose position of that read update. You have to reestablish position. And the same thing would go for a start browse read next as well. All right, so those are the bits we're going to look at. You might want to write down page number 5 when you're going over this yourself, because these are the bits we're going to be looking at. And we're not going to have time to go back today to go look at them, but you might want to go look at them after you print this off for yourself. So if we go to slide 6, please. These are the macros. These are the only verbs you can send to VSAM. And some of them you don't have control over. But if it's like we said on the previous page, if it's a 00, that would be an exec kicks read. Could be a direct read, a read next, or a read for update. It'll be 00 in for the VSAM RPL macro, and then depending on those option bits would be whether it's direct, a read next, or a read update. 01 is a VSAM put, which would be a write a record to a data set. 02 is a VSAM check. You have no control over this. A VSAM check is to check to see if IO is completed, and it's only done if you're using non-shared resources or NSR. Since NSR is asynchronous, as soon as we issue the request to VSAM, we have to issue the check macro to see if the IO is already done. And if it's not already done, that's when we'll put it into a wait. That's only for non-shared resources, which is asynchronous. So 03 is the start browse or a point to VSAM. 04 is an end rec. So if you issue like an exec kicks unlock, we'll issue this end rec over to VSAM to say end the request. And 05 is the erase or delete from a record from a data set. So we're going to go to slide 7. Now we're going to talk about one of the most common waits ever in file control, which is the file control IO wait. So if we go to slide 8, please. So this is the problem the customer came in with. So the customer called the support center indicating response time was slow for a file just moved to its own LSR pool. So they were thinking, I'm going to move this file to its own LSR pool, get it away from everybody else, and response time should be quicker. And the customer already noted many tasks in an FCIO wait. In an FCIO wait, the task is waiting within VSAM for IO to take place. Controls return to CICS during the IO when the task is placed in an FCIO wait. For LSR, KICS utilizes a UPAD or a user processing wait exit. Since this IO is synchronous, you don't want to wait for IO to occur. For LSR, it's synchronous. VSAM's going to happen on the QRTCB, which is the quasi-reentrant TCB. You don't want that quasi-reentrant TCB to be waiting for IO to occur. IO is very slow compared to running application programs and so forth. So we use this UPAD. For non-shared resources and asynchronous IO operation, that's where I was talking about we had to issue the check macro. This allows KICS to dispatch other tasks while waiting for the IO to complete. And if we go to slide 9, we're going to talk real quick about life of a local shared resource LSR IO. Now, this is local shared resources, so here's what's going to happen. You can see number one there, the application is going to issue an execkix write file with a writ field and a from. Over in Kix, we're going to get control of that, and we're going to assign a task number. We're going to call file control. We're going to create the vSAN request parameter list, and we're going to call vSAN. And over in vSAN, number three, vSAN is going to connect the RPL to I/O control blocks, and it's going to schedule the I/O. So it's going to schedule the I/O at that point. And right before it schedules the I/O, it calls, I know it's afterwards here, but it calls Kix to the UPAD exit for a wait. So you can see going down, they're going to go to the I/O subsystem, schedule the I/O. I/O hasn't happened yet. Remember, I/O takes a long time. And call Kix through the UPAD exit. Otherwise, we'd have to wait for that I/O to occur. So number five there in Kix, we'll create an ECB for the I/O completion, event control block. We'll extend the ECB to point to our post-exit stub, which is DFH-DSPEX, and then we'll put the task in an SCIO wait. And on number six there, Kix and vSAN at that point can satisfy other tasks. Now, a long time ago, back in, well, it still might be the date, might be that way, but my instructor about 8 years ago told me that waiting for an I/O is like to a processor 7 years in human terms. There's a lot of stuff it could be doing in those 7 years. So that's why we were able to dispatch other tasks, and vSAN's able to dispatch other tasks. So somewhere in the future, seven down there, the record's actually going to be written to DASDE. That's going to post the ECB that we extended. That's going to drive the Kix post-exit routine, DFH-DSPEX, and it's going to come back into CICS. At that point, we're going to call vSAN back through the UPAD for post. And vSAN is going to call. All they're going to do is turn right around and say, yes, it's posted, call Kix for the UPAD for post, and return the at that point to the application. So there's a lot of stuff going on for an I/O. Now, if this was asynchronous, what would happen is two would still happen, would call vSAN asynchronously. vSAN would return right back to us, and we'd have to issue that check macro to say, is I/O done yet? I've never seen it done that quick. So we'd do the ECB thing, and from there, it would be the same. We'd wait for the ECB to be posted. Okay, if we can go to slide 10, please. All right, so now back to problem one. What you would do is IPCS option 6, STSYS was showing the system status. You'd want to get the incident time from when the dump was taken. So this dump was taken at 2147.51.85 Greenwich Mean Time, GMT. So you'd want to make a note of that. And on the next slide, please. This is the Kix verb exit with DF equal 3. So this is verb exit DFH PD. This was 630 with the DF equals 3. And you can look through here and you can see many tasks are in FCIO waits for EDS file. In fact, everything, if you look at the resource name, everything's for EDS file. You can see FCIO weights, and you can see string weights. Now, you're probably wondering why we're not going to look at string weights on this dump, because you know, on this one, you know who owns the strings. They're the guys waiting for I/O. And all the other guys are waiting for the strings. They're waiting for the I/O to occur. So we take a look at the time of the suspend. The first one there is at 2147.49, and remember, the dump incident token was 2147.51, so about a 2 second, I think it was actually about a 2.5 second delay for that I/O to be taken place. So it's been suspended for FCIO wait for like 2.5 seconds, which is a long time. An I/O should only take about 3 milliseconds if everything's running properly. One thing I want you to see on this is the sus barrier. For an FCIO wait, the sus barrier is the event control block that we built and the one that's going to be posted when the I/O is complete. For an FCIO wait, this ECB, this event control block, will always be in the waiting VSWA under field VSWA ECB, and it's always going to be located hex 10 into the VSWA. So if you can get the sus barrier and minus 10 off of that, so the first one up there would be 349 Baker ABLE 680, that would be the visa that's waiting, always for an SCIO wait. So that's pretty handy debugging information there. So if we can turn to page 12, please. So now I want to go into a FCP or file control program equals 3, and we know we're having a problem with EDS file, so I want to do a find on EDS file. And the first thing you're going to get is a summary. In the summary, there's some interesting information. For instance, you can see it's a VSAM, KSDS. It's in LSR Pool 4. You can see all the other – there was actually hundreds, but he was the only one in LSR Pool 4. He's in his own LSR pool. Excuse me. Another thing that's interesting is that he has SLG set to yes. And what SLG says is use system log. So this guy's recoverable. He's a recoverable data set. He's got at least back out only. And actually, you can see he's also got forward recovery as well. But he is recoverable. So he's a recoverable data set in LSR Pool 4. So if we can go to the next slide, please. So then if you keep, if you issue, reissue the find, you're going to find the file control table entry for EDS file. And what we're going to look at here is offset 30, hex 30 is the number of read requests that was against this file. Okay. And if we look at 30, is that was 0. So 34 is the number of write requests, that was 8. What's it? Number 44 is the number of read update requests, or offset 44, that was 0. The interesting one is the number of browse requests at offset 48. And that's set to 214 Fox 426, which is hexadecimal. So the activity on this file has been there were 8 writes against it, but there were 34,927,654 browse requests. That's exec kicks read next type activity. So lots of browsing going on in this file. So if we can turn to page 14, please. I have a example. So I went and looked at the trace, and we can see task 62374 there starting up. Well, he's issuing exec kicks entry start browse, and you can see it going into the UPAD like we talked about there on the fourth trace entry down, and then he goes into the wait MBS, so he's going into an SCIO wait at that point. He actually had to go issue IO to get the record into storage because it wasn't already there. Remember, this is LSR. We haven't really gone over LSR buffering, but LSR has something called look aside, which says if the buffer is already in storage, I don't have to go to DASD to read it. That's what's good about LSR. Okay. So he goes into his SCIO wait, then 62091 comes out, and he's saying exit wait MBS okay. So he came out of an FCIO wait. And he comes in, and he's issuing a start browse. His start browse went okay, so he must have found the buffer. But then he issues an EIP exit read next at trace number 69, or trace number 70, and that's going back into an FCIO wait again. So he had to go back to DASD again. He read a couple of records, and he had to go back out to DASD again. The point I wanted to make here is there's a lot of IO going on for this data set. Okay, so if we can turn to page 15, please. So what we know so far, our customer had a slowdown on their file loaning region. There was a dump provided at 2147.51.85 GMT. Kix dispatcher shows many tasks in an FCIO wait for the file around 2147.49. And 2 seconds is a long time for IO to complete. Ed's file was defined to LSR Pool 4, and it had a lot of sequential browse activity. Okay, can we turn to page 16, please? So now we're going to look. I should have showed you back on a previous page, but offset 60 of that FCTE had the address of the dataset name block, and I had it highlighted there. So what you want to do next is go find that dataset name block. So do a find on the address, and you'll get down to the dataset name block, which we're showing here. And like I said, on the first couple of pages of this presentation, all the VSWAs are going to be anchored off of the data set name block, and SCP equals 3 will show them all. You don't have to go look, you don't have to go into browse mode to look for them. If you notice, we haven't even gone to browse mode yet. We're probably not going to have to go to browse mode at all to shoot the CICS problems, because we do a lot of good stuff with our formatters. Anyways, here's the data set name block, and underneath it will be all the VSWAs. So we're going to take a look at all these VSWAs, and we're going to look at first offset able, which is the RPR request type. That's a 03. All right, 03, if we went back to our definition of the macros, is a start browse. It's a point to vSAN, but it's a start browse to CICS. And the thing that's interesting in here is offset 10. Remember I said it was always going to be that ECB. That starts with an 80, so that means it's waiting. Okay? 80 is always going to mean it's waiting. And also a PLH address at offset Charlie of the VSWA, the PLH address being non-zero says this VSWA owns a string. All right, so this VSWA owns a string. He's got an ACB of 80 indicating the IO is not posted. So the task associated with this VSWA would be an FCIO wait. This guy's waiting for IO, and if you look at the key he used or the RID field, it's all Abels and a Baker. Okay, that's there at offset Baker 4. Okay, so if we go to the next page, please. Here's a couple of more VSWAs, and they're pretty much in the same. These are all going to be following each other. These are all going to be formatted underneath the data set name block. And you can see these are all in the same way. They've also issued 03s or point start browse macros. And this guy went for all labels in the Charlie. The next guy went for all labels in the dog. And their ECBs are not posted either. So these are the people that, these are the tasks that are in FCIO weights. Now, if you want to get the task number, you'd have to go to the TCA there at offset 9 Charlie. The TCA would show you the task number. All right, if we turn the page to 18, please. All right, so we've already known about the first few here. Now we know that the SCBs for the task and the FCIO weights are not posted. The RID field for the requests are around the same area. Since this is LSR, the task should be sharing the buffers. If the record is in a buffer, there's no need to issue an IO. That's, like I said, the good thing about LSR. It has very good look-aside. So I had the customer run DFH0STAT. If you go to the next page, page 19, this was the DFH0STAT output. So we can see down here, for data buffers, we had successful look-asides of 453,112, and we had buffer reads of 920,110. You might think that's a pretty good story. So what that's saying is I didn't have to go do IO 453,112 times for the data buffers. Okay? But that's still not very good look-aside ratio. But if you look at the index, it's really terrible. You can see successful look-asides were 285,345 and 1,287,877 times we had to go to DASD to get the record. That's terrible look-aside for index. And thank you. I just lost my presentation, but I'm back. So if you go down for the data buffer statistics, you can see the same thing there. And it says your look-aside ratio is 32.9%. That's terrible. But for index, it's very bad. Your look-aside ratio is only 20.7%. So a look-aside ratio of 20.7% index is not good. And if you also look, there are only two index buffers allocated to this LSR pool. Look-aside ratio could be improved dramatically on the index and data by increasing buffers allocated to the pool. Okay, so they had 10 data buffers, you can see there, on the 4096. Number of buffers was 10. And 2048 number of buffers is 2. So if we turn to the next page, please. So we know all that, and then the bottom two DFH0STAT outputs showed low look-aside ratios for the data in the index. And at that point, customer informed us that the file was moved from a data table to an LSR pool since all their combined data table files exceeded the 2 gigabyte limit you could have per KIX region. So if you know anything about data tables or you went to any of my performance, data tables for browse activity especially, there's only 8 writes and millions of browses, data tables will outperform LSR or NSR dramatically performance-wise. It's very quick. but they moved it out of a data table into an LSR pool, thinking that they could have about as much the same performance. So what can, if we go to the next slide, please, 21, what can be done? Well, we can have them increase the amount of index and data buffers in LSR pool 4. This will increase the number of leukocyte hits and decrease the amount of physical IO to DASD. And also a note that sequential activity performs better using non-shared resources. If you've ever been to any of my performance pitches for VSAM, non-shared resources would be a much better performance for this activity sequential activity performs better than non-shared resources. Right, if they made it NSR instead of LSR, it would perform better since they are doing browsing, that would be sequential activity. Okay, so they could change the file definitions to non-shared resources, like I just said, NSR and sequential invokes read ahead buffer process in BSAM. They would still have to increase the amount of buffers, though. They could move the file to a separate KIX region to alleviate the 2-gigabyte data table restriction. Data tables has much better performance than NSR for read and browse activity, and it would not work if this one file was larger than 2 gigabytes, however. Or they could migrate to CICSTS version 3.2, which is what they did do for this. And this release allows 99 2-gigabyte data spaces for data tables. So they did not have a problem once they went to 3.2. They put it back in a data table, and I think the file was 4 gigabytes or something. It wasn't a problem, so it only used two of the data spaces. They still had 97 left over. Okay, so if we move to the next slide, please. That was it for FCIO. Wait, please, if you have any questions on that, let me know at the end. Now we're going to talk about a FCPS weight, which is a private string weight, and a FCDS, RECD, and Q. So if we can go to slide 23, please. So this is problem 2. Customer called the support center indicating access to the main production file stalled. And again, what you want to go do is say, what time was the dump taken? So again, IPCS option 6. I issued a STSYS command, and the incident token is what you want to use, and that's at 20.07.36.99 GMT, so that's what time the dump was taken. So if we can move to slide 24, please. Okay, this is again DFH, or a verbex for DFH PD630, and showing the dispatcher. And so looking through here, yes, you can see many TAS and FCPS weights for EDS file. Okay, and this time you don't see the FCIO weight, so something else is holding them. It's not IO this time. All right, something interesting on this, and you can see since 1954-29.69 GMT time is when this TAS 11794 went into an FCPS weight, so that's at 54, about 13 minutes, I believe. He's been waiting for a string. Another interesting thing on here is that timeout due, none of them have timeout due, so D timeout was not coded. Okay, so they're just going to sit there and wait and wait and wait until strings become available for this file. Something to note that the current running task up there is 8957. Okay, so if we turn to page 25, please. Customers accessed files, EDS file stalled. Customer provided a dump taken at 20.07.36.99 GMT. KIX dispatcher shows many tasks in FCPS wait for EDS file. The earliest task was 11794 at 19.54.29 GMT, and D timeout was not set. So there's no timeout due. It'll sit there, wait forever for a string to become available on that EDS file. So if we can move to page 26, please. So on FCPS wait, you're waiting on a VSAM string. KIX commands that'll hold a string. A read for update will hold a string. So if you issue a read for update, it'll hold the string until you issue the rewrite or a delete without read field or an unlock. Start browse, read next, read prev, reset browse will hold a string, and they'll be released at end browse or unlock time. Mass insert, which is a sequential write, will be released at unlock time. In generic delete, the string will be released when all the records are deleted. So you want to find out who owns all the strings for this file, EDS file. And I'm, excuse me, on slide 27 is a quick example of an FCPS wait. Here, there was a CETA-defined file for EDS file strings of 2. Now, that wasn't our situation. We're going to talk about how many strings we do have for this file later on. But if task 1 comes in and issues a zkix read file, EDS file for update, we're going to go to the FCTE and say, is string count less than 2? And if you're fine, you're going to go connect that to a VSWL, which is going to connect it to that placeholder over in VSAM, which is going to connect to that buffer, and then VSAM is going to return back, but that string will not be released till rewrite time. So it's going to set there. If task 2 came in and did the same thing, he'll get a string because, yes, strings defined are 2. Now when task 3 comes in, he's going to say, is the string count less than 2, and you're going to be over, so he'll be put into the FCPS wait. So if we go to slide 28, please. So what I wanted to do here was go into FCP equals 3, so this is Verbex DFH PD630 FCP equals 3, and do a find on EDS file. And again, you can see SLG is set to yes, we'll use system log, so this is a recoverable file. We can see he's in LSR pool 1, which doesn't really make a difference in this particular case, just but there's a lot of good information here. He's not RLS, you know, a lot of good information here. So EDS file has SLG set to yes. This indicates all updates to this file are to use the system log for backout purposes. This makes EDS file a recoverable resource. In fact, you can see all these guys pretty much are SLG. So they're all using the system logger, so they're all backout. So if we move to page 29, please, you do another find for EDS file, just like we did before for the previous problem. You'll find it in the FCTE proper. So here's the FCTE. The fields you want to look at in the FCTE for a string weight are listed there. Again, there's the data set name pointer. We're going to have to take a look at that later on, so you want to jot that down. Now, 88 is the active string count, and there we have a Charlie at offset 88 for 2 bytes. So that's a decimal 12. So 12 active strings. At 8 ables, current string weight count, and we have a 1 fox there, that's a 31 in decimal. So there should be 31 people in a file control FCPS wait, because there's 31 tasks waiting for a string at this point. Upper limit for string count is a fox, which is 15. So there's the customer defined 15 strings for this file, EDS file. Now, here's something that a lot of customers get confused about, and we'll talk about it here. Upper limit for non-direct read string count is 12. And if you go look up to active string count, that's also 12. Okay, what happens is if you define 5 or more strings to a file, CICS under the covers will take 20% of those strings and make them for read-only or direct-only type requests. So, in other words, right now, if a direct read came in, he could use one of those 3 strings because there's still 3 strings available. But if another start browse or a read update came in, he'd be put into a wait because we know start browses and read updates could take a long time. And we want to let the guys that are doing direct reads or direct writes through quickly. We don't want to tie them up just because somebody's out browsing the data set, in other words. And the total task waiting for strings is 31, so this problem happened quickly. All 12 strings probably were taken, and then the next 31 people waited since the current string wait count is also 31. All right, so that's good stuff from the FCTE. If we turn the page to slide 30, please. This is what we know so far. Customer's access to the file stalled. It's a recoverable file. Customer provided a dump taken at 2007.36.99 GMT. Kix dispatcher showed many tasks in FCPS wait for the file. The earliest task was at 1954. D timeout was not set, and we showed 12 active strings against the file, 31 tasks waiting for a string, 15 strings defined for the file, and 12 strings for non-direct reads. So all 12 strings for non-direct reads were being used. So if we can turn to page 31, please. Once you got that DSNV address from the FCTE, you can do a find on that, and you'll find the dataset name block. And here's the dataset name block. So just like we did before, underneath the dataset name block are all the VSWAs that are going against that dataset. So This one, if you'll notice, the PLH pointer at offset Charlie of the first visual underneath that data set named black is zeros. This is an indication this transaction does not own a string. He would be one of the people that are waiting for a string, so they would be in an FCPS wait. And normally, I'd say 98% of the time I've seen this, you'll see all 31 of them following each other. So you'll see 31 visuals with no PLHs. And then you'll get to the ones that own the strings, but they'll all be underneath this data set name block. And we can see, if we wanted to look, this guy did a 00 at offset able of the visual. That means he's done a read, excuse me, in the 4082 there at offset 30 in the option bytes means he's done a read for update. The 2-bit means he's done a read for update. I think I want to explain that better on another FOIL coming up. So if we can turn to page 32, please. So that guy didn't own a string. So I went all the way down and found the ones that did own a string. So this visual here, the very first one, you can see the PLH pointer at offset Charlie has something in it. So this one owns a string. He's in VSAM. VSAM's got that PLH pointer filled in. Excuse me. You can see again offset Able is a 00 and offset 30 is a 4082. So a PLH of non-zero indicates this VSWA owns a VSAM string on the file. The 00 indicates this is a read command. And VSWA options has the update access set on. So this is a read update command. The VSAM string will not be released until a rewrite or an unlock is issued. You can see that the read field for VSWA 1 is all A's, VSWA 2 is all B's. Okay? So let's go to the next page, which is number 33. What I did here is on this note here, I retrieved the TCA address from all the visuals that owned a string. So there was 12 of them, right? I issued the KIX verb exit with KE equals 3 and found the TCA address to get the task number. So got the TCA address, issued a KE equals 3, did a find on the TCA address, got the task numbered. Then I issued a verb X with DS equals 3 and find the task number to see what type of weight the string owners were in. And all of those strings were in an NQ for FCDS RECD. So the string owners that did the read for update and went and got a string on that file, then went and did something that put them in an NQ for FCDS RECD. If we turn into the next page, please, page 34. I kind of tried to put that here. There's the ETS file string owners. There they all are. And they're all in NQs. So all owners over here did a read update for various keys on the file and obtained a string and then issued some type of request that put them in an FCDS RECD NQ. And that's where they're sitting right now. And if you remember again, there was no D timeout due for anybody in dispatcher, so they're going to sit there and wait for this NQ. All right, so if we turn to page 35, please. So what we now know is the bottom one, that the string owners for ETS file have all issued read update commands for various read fields, obtained a string, and are now in an FCDS RECD NQ suspend. Okay, if we turn to page 36, please. This is an FCDS RECD NQ. A resource name of FCDS RECD indicates a wait for a record lock in the VSAM file. When a transaction updates a record in the VSAM file, locking occurs at two levels. VSAM will lock the CI when the record has been read, and KIX will lock the record. Okay? The CI lock is released as soon as the rewrite or unlock request is completed. However, if the file is recoverable, which this one was, the record is not unlocked by CICS until the updating transaction has reached a sync point. This is to ensure that data integrity is maintained if a transaction fails before the sync point and the record has to be backed out. If a transaction attempts to update a record that is locked by another transaction, it is suspended on resource type NQ until the lock is released. This can be a long wait since the owner of the NQ may itself be waiting, which we saw. Okay, so that's how you get into an FCDS RECD NQ suspend, is you try to update a recoverable resource. Okay, so if we can go to page 37, please. This is the DFH PD 630 with NQ equals 3, because we know FCD, SRECD is an NQ, we can go in the NQ domain and take a look at it. So all you got to do in there is do a find on FCD, SRECD, and you get all these NQs down here. And we can see these NQ names. We can see on the first one, we can see an NQ name, 0861 dog 30, and then Charlie 1, Charlie 1, Charlie 1, Charlie 1, Charlie 1. That's actually AAAAA. That's EPSIDIC for AAAAA. And what you can see here is that the this is the owner. The first owner's name is BTCH, and the owner transaction number is 8957. And the waiter's 10033. The next one is for BBBBBBB, or Charlie 2, Charlie 2, Charlie 2, Charlie 2. And we can see, again, the owner is 8957, and the waiter is 10037. And I made a mistake here. I think I did a find I was cleaning this up from a customer, and I think I did a find replace. That's supposed to be BTCH on all the owners. BTCH 8957 task number. BTCH owned all of the NQs. If you keep going down, so 8957, which is transaction BTCH, owned all the NQs. So in the note, an FCD, SRECD NQ name will always be the hex address of the data set name block. So the data set name block that these guys want is 06181Dog30, the first 4 bytes of that NQ, followed by the RID field that is locked. In this case, the owner of all the record locks that the string coders for Ed's file need is task number 8957. This happened to be the running task identified on slide 25. If you saw slide 20, remember the DS on slide 25, DS output, I said the top guy was running. That was 8957. The data set name block that all the NQs are for, so if you go into dump and look at, do into an SCP equals 3 and do a find for able61able dog 30, is recoverable file, batch file, B-A-T-C-H-F-I-L, which is also identified on slide 28. It was there along when we looked at our file here. These NQs will not be released until 8957 either sync points or terminates. Okay, so if we can go to slide 38, please. So what we know now is at the bottom of this slide, owner of the FCD, SRECD, NQ for Ed's file is task 8957, which is currently running an updating batch file. So if we go to slide 39, please, what could be done? You can code all applications to access files in the same owner order. In this case, the owner of the FCD, SRECD, NQ was a new transaction that updated all records in the recoverable data set batch file. Application logic was moved from a batch environment. The company went global, and the files had to be available 24/7. But they didn't take into account that it was recoverable in KIX. It was never recoverable in batch. Now they had it recoverable in CICS. So when they do that, they have to code sync point commands to release the record locks. Or they could have coded D timeout values for the transactions, which would really just abend the guys that were waiting with an AFCY. But at least they would be abended, and they would know something was going on besides my production was hanging. So if we go to 40, please. So the summary, what we went over today, we went over FCIO weights. We went over a string weight, how to find out who owns strings on a file, and we went over an FCD, SRECD, NQ, how to find out who is the owner of that NQ. So if we turn to slide 41, please. These are additional WebSphere product resources that you can go to, and you can visit these on your leisure and learn about other upcoming webcast conferences and events, for example. Join the Global WebSphere User Group community. Sign up to receive weekly technical My Support emails. Those are very good. If we can go to slide 42, please. This will be the question and answer period. But first, I believe Elijah is going to poll you. And like I said, please indicate in your poll if you'd like to see more presentations like this or what type of presentations you'd like to see from us at CICS Level 2. We'll be sure to get them to you. Thank you.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webshare Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thanks, Ed, for presenting today.